Welcome to I Feel Your Pain, where stories of loss meet sacred solidarity. A space for storytelling, testimony, lament, and healing. My name is Tina Norbury, a communication strategist by training, a grief navigator by lived experience. You find yourself here today because your pain has a name, a date, a memory that weighs more than you can handle alone. For me, it is the 2nd of August. Today's episode is The Sister-Shaped Hole, Sibling Loss and Shattered Identity. Sibling loss is often a disenfranchised grief, overlooked by a world that does not understand the unique bond of siblings or sisters. Today, I'm going to talk about the earth-shattering pain of losing a sister, the keeper of my secrets, my shared history, and a part of my own identity. This is the story of a sudden tragic car accident that took my big sister's life, leaving me to navigate a world that feels permanently altered. We will find solace in the scripture of raw lament and discover ways to honor our siblings and carry their memories forward when the path ahead feels broken. There are moments that divide your life into a before and after. For me, it was a phone call while I was driving my 14-year-old to the salon to do her hair just before she opened schools for her half-term break. Prior to this phone call, my daughter just from the blues just said, "Do you know that Dalla Morin cooks better than you? And I miss her cooking. I like specifically her the way she makes her instant porridge." Dalla in Ndebele, which is a Zimbabwean language, means mom's big sister. She said, "I miss her. Mom, we should go and visit her soon." This conversation was interrupted by an unfamiliar number from Zimbabwe. There was nothing to signal that the world was about to break apart. She didn't ask me how I was, where I was, who I was with. She did not offer a warning. Her voice just came through those speakers, delivering the words that would forever mark time. My cousin sister said, "Morin is no more. She was involved in a fatal car crash and she died on the spot." I was on a long stretch of the road with no place to park until about 10 minutes. My daughter started crying hysterically. The only thing that came out of my mouth was, "When did it happen?" When she told me, I signaled my daughter to hang up. The silence after was more than quiet. It was the sound of my old life collapsing. The world outside the windshield looked like it was swimming, like a pool of things just moving. The steering wheel was the only solid thing I could hold on to. And I continued driving, and by God's grace, I got into the parking lot, parked safely. Then I rang my brother-in-law just in case I'd not heard my cousin properly. It was after his confirmation that I felt my whole body shaking. But I had a child to console, so I had to ensure that she was okay first. I took her to the salon after I had spoken to her, cuddled her. Got to that salon, I remember vividly the red leather sofa I sat on, and I cried. I let out a cry and cried. The cruelty of the news was matched only by the cruelty of its delivery. I was with a child in a moving vehicle when the foundation of my life gave way. The details that followed were like salt in the wound. A crash, multiple cars, people injured, but then the detail that defied all logic for me was that she was the only one who died. Out of all the people in that collision, my gentle, ever-smiling sister was the only life taken. It felt like a targeted strike, and the news was delivered with a brutal, careless efficiency. A sister is not just a relative. She's your best friend, your living mirror. You ask her, does this look okay on me? Is this okay? That's a sister. When my sister died, I did not just lose a person. I lost an entire archive. The callous way I was told felt like a second violation, a brutal confirmation that the world had just become cold and a dangerous place for me to figure out without my big sister. It felt cold. On that red leather sofa, after the salon owner, who was ever so kind and supportive, had consoled me, I immediately remembered that my niece, who was 24 at the time, was studying in Cyprus. And I thought someone or my cousin will ring her and deliver the news the same way I did. I quickly composed myself and rang her. I checked with her, where are you? Who are you with? What are you doing? And I asked her, where is your friend? Confirmed that her friend was there, and I told her to sit down. I broke the news to her, but I pre-warned her that what I was going to tell her was the most difficult news I've ever delivered to anyone. I did not want her, especially being in a foreign country, to receive the news the way I did. The piercing scream that my niece let out was just too much for me. I fell on the floor and wailed. It was just so painful. I wanted to hug her. I wanted to just be there for her. But I was miles away. I could only ask her friend to comfort her. And thereafter, I had to arrange the flights to be flying back and for her to travel safely. It was not easy. It was not easy. And it was during COVID time as well. So I needed to first of all go and do COVID test and make sure that we're negative. Otherwise, we weren't allowed to fly to go to the funeral. It was just so difficult. All I wanted to do is to just go home and see my sister. I wanted to see where she was. She was all on her own. For me, what really hurt the most was, what were her last words? What did she say? Did she scream when that crush, because she was a very gentle person, did she scream and call my name, call her children's names? Did she call my mom's name? What did she do? Did she quietly just let go? I had all these questions because in my head I thought I would have liked her maybe to be in a coma, for me to go and talk to her, for me to say my goodbyes, rather than getting there when she's gone. Just gone. Our anchoring scripture is a mirror of my rage and sorrow. In the raw early days of this grief, the polished, peaceful scriptures felt too quiet for me. My soul was screaming. I needed Bible verses that were screaming with me. I found it in the lament of David, which is 2 Samuel 1, verse 23. I'll read it from the New King James Version. It says, Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. This is the part of David's passion lament for his friend Jonathan, who was like a brother to him. He does not start with acceptance. He starts with a cry of praise for what was lost. Swifter than eagle, stronger than lions. He magnifies their glory as a way to magnify the depth of his loss. This scripture, for me, it was permission to do the same, to cry out. My sister was a light in every room she entered. She was always smiling and laughing. She carried herself with quiet strength, what I sometimes call soft power. That soft power touched many hearts and won people over. Even though there are some people who humiliated her because of her quietness and ridiculed her, but she never let it change who she was. She would respond with the same respect, love, and kindness every time. Grieving her immense value was a holy act to me. My sister added so much of value to me, especially the soft power. Nothing fazed her. This scripture validated how our relationship, my sister, was. I look at a lament as not lack of faith. For me, a lament is faith directed into the pain. It's saying to God, God, this hurts so much because what you created was so good. This scripture became a mirror for my own rage and sorrow, showing that God is bigger to handle my angriest, saddest, and most broken questions. I maybe would say even stupidest questions. But I was angry, really angry when my sister died. In solidarity, let's carry our siblings forward. If you are living with this sister-shaped or brother-shaped hole, please know this. Your grief is valid. It is deep because your love was deep. Here is what has helped me learn to carry this heavy weight. It's still heavy, but I've found some things that have helped me continue to carry it. I often say her name here and there when I'm sharing stories about her. I don't just say my late sister. I just say, Maureen once said this silly story or a funny story. I'll mention her name and I will just find myself smiling and laughing. I find this keeps her spirit alive in my circle and it affirms that her life mattered to me. I don't know if you can create, you know, find a ritual that reminds you of her. For me, I planted a tree in her honor. And sometimes I'll listen to songs that she loved. And when I'm feeling really, really like missing her that much, I will listen to her voice notes that she used to send to me or we used to send to each other via WhatsApp. I find these little things give grief a tangible outlet and a place to go. I'm keeping her alive, or I feel as though that's my tangible outlet. I've found that being gentle with everyone else who is grieving is very important. Because remember that the relationship with each and everyone is unique. I've found for me offering grace in the middle of this inevitable tension and sadness has helped so much. I grieve in my own way and don't allow or don't tell others how to grieve. In a family setting, for example, if the parents are still alive, remember they are grieving their child and it's a different grieving. Other friends who are close to her or him, if it's a brother, they will have their own way of grieving as well. Other siblings will have their, it's different for everyone. Grace is important. Giving each other grace and space is very important. And just being gentle. Finding a support group of people who have lost siblings sometimes can be helpful. I found it very helpful because they could understand the pain I was going through or could identify these face-to-face support groups and also online ones. The last one for me is I've redefined our relationship. I know that my sister is no longer physically here with me, but she is still my sister. Her influence on my life continues. I sometimes find myself asking myself questions. What would she do in this situation? Especially when I'm struggling to use soft power. I will say, what would Maureen do in this situation? It helps me to carry her forward. forward with me. The relationship just transforms from the one of presence to the one of legacy and memory. And these memories are very valuable. But also, when you feel it's ready and you're ready to move on, you are not abandoning your sibling by learning to live without her. You are learning to carry her with you in a new way. And that is an act of profound love. Don't feel the need to continue being in that place. Grief is a cycle. And I believe that one day I will be able to learn to live without her. And I pray that you as well, if you are carrying a sister-shaped or brother-shaped hole, you will be able one day, by God's grace, learn to live again, live without them independently, and be happy again. As we close, I leave you with three things. One, listen deeply to your pain. It is a language God understands. Number two, lead clearly through your grief, because your scars light paths for others. Number three, communicate with care, especially to the hurting soul in your mirror. Until next time, your pain is safe here.